Friends, let's bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Father, we pray that thou be with us now. And we pray that help us and undertake for us in the public ministry of thy precious word. We pray, Lord, thy word may not fall to the ground, be lost and wasted, forgotten, easily forgotten, neglected, ignored. But Father, we pray that these things may be heard and concentrated upon. And deliver, Lord, thy servants, we pray this morning, from every and all distraction. Grant that they may concentrate upon thy word. And grant, Father, that thy people and those not yet thy people might attend upon it and give themselves to these things unreservedly. Be with us, Lord, be with all thy people, be with the children, Father, in the Sunday school, we pray. Teach them out of thy word, and may they in their young days come to remember their Creator, we pray. For we ask these things in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, dear friends, not one, but two texts for you this morning, both in John, the fourth gospel, the Gospel of John, and both in the first chapter, verses 41 and 45. John chapter 1 and verses 41 and 45, where we read these words. He first findeth his own brother Simon, saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. That's verse 41. And then verse 45 reads, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So, dear friends, these are our two texts for this morning's message, John chapter 1. Verses 41 and 45, where you can see these two disciples. They had been disciples of John the Baptist, but now they were disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Andrew and Philip are speaking to those who are about to become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is Simon on the one hand and Nathanael. Well, in the first instance, in the case of Simon, we have Andrew speaking, and also when he says we, he's not only referring to himself, he's also thinking about another of John the Baptist's disciples, which may well have been the Apostle John himself, because the Apostle John in this Gospel often doesn't refer to himself, but he kind of refers to himself a little bit like that in a kind of rather mysterious way, doesn't want to draw attention to himself. In the second instance, in the case of Nathanael, the we refers not only to Andrew and perhaps the Apostle John, as he was going to be, but also Simon as well. All of them is referred to in that second we. So just going over those verses so we know who we're dealing with. He first findeth his own brother Simon, that is Andrew, and saith unto him, We, Andrew, and another of John the Baptist's disciples, possibly John, the Apostle John, as he was going to be. We have found the Messiah, referring to the two of them. But when Philip finds Nathanael and speaks to him the same kind of words, the we is referring to more, not only to Andrew and possibly John, but also Simon Peter, those who had found the Lord Jesus Christ, not only physically, but also spiritually. You have to say that the testimony to unbelievers grows, isn't it? That we grows, has grown over the years from that first century down to today. It's as though people are saying to you, my dear friend, this morning, if you're not yet a Christian, we have found him. Not two, not just a few more than two, but thousands upon thousands have found the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're saying to you, preachers and other Christians are saying to you this morning, that they're in this wonderful position. We have found spiritually, the Lord Jesus Christ. We found him as our personal Saviour and Redeemer. Have you? The testimony, the witness, so if it builds against you, my dear friends, I trust that it'll be too much for you and overcome you, and that it might lead you to seek and to find him this morning. So we have these men speaking here to these two to Simon and also to Nathanael about themselves and what had happened to them. And when you think of these men, Andrew and Philip, they're really saying about themselves that they were those who had just very recently found the Lord Jesus Christ. Found him not only physically here upon earth those few thousand years ago, but also they had discovered him or found him spiritually and found him as I say, their own personal Lord and Saviour and the one who was going to take away not only the sin of the world and many others, but is also going to take away their sin. And also Simon and Nathanael, they were just about to find him, but these had found him already. Others were going to find him in the future. And we have, first of all, Andrew's testimony in John chapter 1 and verses 35 to 40. What happened to him, how he found Christ physically and spiritually. We're told there again the next day, after John the Baptist stood, and two of his disciples, Andrew, John was it? Looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. John the Baptist had pointed them to Christ, said, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. They followed him physically. They also began to follow him spiritually, became his disciples. Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to be interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. That was Andrew's testimony, and the other that was with him, how they came to follow Christ, to know Christ, and to discover him, to meet him, to find him, both physically and spiritually. And as far as Philip was concerned, we have his testimony, what happened to him in John chapter 1 and verses 43 and 44. The day following, Christ would go forth into Galilee. He found Philip, saith unto him, it's as simple as this. Christ said to him, Follow me. And Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Philip, Peter. And Philip did begin to follow him, did believe in Christ, did begin to disciple him, and begin to serve him and witness to him. First to Nathanael, a friend of his, and then to others, somebody that was of the same place as him. He began to witness to him. And also, of course, we have Simon Peter's testimony there in verse 42. Andrew brought Simon to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. That is how Simon Peter, the one who's going to be the great apostle Peter, how he found physically and spiritually the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, my dear friend, this morning, may I ask you, with all the spiritual intensity that I can muster this morning, have you found the Lord Jesus Christ? Whom to find and whom to know is life eternal. If you don't seek and find him, you remain in your sins. You remain on the broad road which leads to destruction. But if you find him, not as yet you're going to find him physically, but if you find him spiritually, and you find him and come to him, seek him and find him as your own personal redeemer and saviour, you will be saved. You will become like these men. You will become an apostle, no more apostles. You might become a minister, you might become a missionary, but the main thing is that you become a Christian and that you are in Christ, and that one day after this world is over and soon over, you will go to heaven, you will go to glory. Have you spiritually found the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you repented of your sin? Have you believed and trusted in him, in his person, and in his work for you, in his life, and his death upon the cross to take away your sins? His rising the third day and so on. Have you trusted in this person, in his work, and in his offices? Have you found him? Are you going to find him perhaps in the future? Spiritually find him. Or, my dear friends, are you perhaps like some who are never going to find him, go through the whole of this life without God, without Christ, without hope in this world? God forbid that you should go through the whole of your life like that, never finding the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Saviour. Well, so that might happen. I preach these things in order that you might hear them, in order that you might believe them and be saved, and believe upon this person and his work. Well, that's what we're dealing with here about these men. What I want us to look at now this morning for the rest of our time, I want us to consider who it was that Andrew and Philip spoke to Simon and Nathanael about, who it was that they did indeed find in this way. And they were so excited, weren't they? They were so thrilled that they had found him. When we look at who they found, we can understand why. And it's like this for the young convert, for the young believer, for the person who's just been born again. The Christian life is so exciting. It should be exciting all the way through. You know, our Christian life should never dull. It should never lose its luster. It should never be spiritually tarnished. But we know in the first flush of spiritual youth, there is such an excitement. And we hear it coming across in these men as they said to their friends, "We have found him." There is a certainty there. There is an assurance that they had found somebody wonderful, found somebody marvellous, found the best person of all, the greatest person of all. They had found him physically. They had found him spiritually. And we should have that if we're Christians. If you're a person who's been born again, you should have that self-same excitement and seek not to lose it throughout the whole of your Christian life, to maintain that thrill, that excitement, that joy, that gladness that you first had when first you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So who have they found? Well, they describe him in a number of different ways. Andrew describes him as the Messiah. Philip describes him as him of whom Moses and the law had written, also about him of whom the prophets had written, also that they had found Jesus of Nazareth, not only one who had been written about in the past, but one who was present amongst them then, right there and then. And finally, he says that they had found Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. He's called many things in this chapter, but also these things. And I want us to consider these names and descriptions of his this morning, in order that you, if not you haven't yet, you might find him this morning. So first of all, Andrew says to Simon his brother that he and another of John the Baptist's disciples, possibly the Apostle John to be, had found the Messiah. What did he mean by, who did he mean by the Messiah, this name Messiah? Well, he meant the Messiah according to the Hebrew. And it's a name which means the anointed. They had found the anointed of God, the anointed of the Father. John Gill in his commentary wrote these words: "This name Messiah was well known among the Jews, for that great person, that greatest of all persons, who was promised, predicted, prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures, and they expected would come as a Saviour and Redeemer. They had found this person of whom the Jews had been promised long. He now at last had come amongst them." No wonder they're excited to have physically and spiritually found such a person that had been promised and expected for many, many hundreds, a few thousand of years throughout the whole of their national history. He's written about chiefly in this way in the writings, in the poetical works of the Old Testament scriptures, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 2 and verse 2. "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together." Who against? Against the Lord, against God, and against his anointed. It's a reference there to the Messiah, to the Christ, who is going to come into the world. He's mentioned there in Psalm 2 and verse 2. He's also mentioned as the Messiah in Psalm 18 and verse 50. "Great deliverance giveth he to his king, give the Lord to his king," said David, "and showeth mercy to his anointed," to his Messiah, to his Christ. It's not only a reference to David, but to great David's greatest son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to his seed, his spiritual seed, forevermore. He's mentioned also in Psalm 89 and verses 38 and 51. "But thou, God, hast cast off and abhorred. Thou hast been wroth with thine anointed." He wasn't wroth with his son for his own sake. for anything that he had done, but for our sakes, my dear friends, because he was going to be our sin bearer. Wherewith thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed, your Messiah, your anointed. And then finally, Daniel chapter 9 and verses 25 and 26. The Authorized Version, I think, is the only place where the actual name Messiah is mentioned in the Old Testament explicitly. The angel said to Daniel, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem," it's a prophecy about the future, about Christ, "under the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself." He was going to die, but not for his own self, not because of his own sins, but for the sins of his people. "And the people of the Prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined." This was the person that they'd found. They'd found the Messiah. They'd found God's anointed, prophesied about in their Old Testament writings, in the poets, in the Psalms, also there in Daniel, written many hundreds of years before their birth, before they had come into the world. And he had come in their day, and he was amongst them. And they had found him, the pearl of greatest price. Is it any wonder that they were so excited that they had found such a person as this? No better person than Christ to find. He is the best of all persons. My dear friend, have you spiritually found the Jewish Messiah? Even though you're not a Jew, even though you may be a Gentile here this morning, have you found the Messiah? Have you found God's anointed? And you know that you've found him because you're excited about him, and also because he's anointed you with the oil of gladness, because you know that through him and through faith in his name your sins have been forgiven, they've been pardoned, they've been absolved, and he's anointed you also with his Spirit. His Spirit indwells within you because you are, and that is how you've actually become a disciple of his. So Andrew by the Messiah to Simon meant the Messiah, according to the Hebrew, which means the anointed. He meant also the Christ, according to the Greek, which the Apostle John added by way of an interpretation, as in verse 38, which also, of course, means the anointed. And Gill wrote this in his commentary on this verse. He said, "He is so called because he was anointed from everlasting to be prophet, to deliver us from the ignorance of our sin, priest, to deliver us from the guilt of our sin, king, to deliver us from the power of our sin. And he was anointed as man with the oil of gladness, with the graces of the Spirit, without measure. And it's from him the saints receive the anointing, or grace in measure, and are from him called Christians, and are really anointed ones." Just to back that up, we have Psalm 45 and verse 7, don't we? Again, the writings, poets in the Psalms, written about him in this way. "Christ, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, the Father, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." He was going to anoint him with the Spirit above measure, beyond measure. Kind of measure that we could never take. And then Peter says in Acts 10 verse 38, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." He was the anointed. God anointed him with the Holy Spirit without measure at his baptism. And then he was the one who was going to anoint his people. 2 Corinthians 1:21, "Now he which establisheth us with you is Christ, and hath anointed us is God." Christians are those who are indwelt by the Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit of God, potentially, and those who are anointed by him with that holy anointing. 1 John 2:27, "But the anointing which you have received of him, of God, abides in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Oh, Andrew says to Simon, "We found the Messiah. We found the Christ. We found the anointed. The one who's going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit beyond measure, without measure. And the one who's going to anoint us. the one who's going to send his Spirit upon us. He was going to do that in the future, Acts chapter 2 and onwards. The one who anoints his people, Christians. They are anointed ones. Well, my dear friend, have you found him? My dear friend, you want to find him, you need to seek him. You need to seek him with all of your heart. If you're aware of your sin, my dear friend, and where that's going to take you, and if you're aware that he's the only one who can save you from your sin, you're going to seek him with all your heart until you find him, until you know that you're in him, a believer in him. You're saved by him, have your sins all forgiven, and you have righteousness, a perfect righteousness through faith in his name. Seek him until you find him. Have you found the Christ? Have you found the anointed of God, Jesus Christ, and the one who will also may also anoint you? So notice he's saying here, we have found the one of whom was prophesied about, and perhaps we're particularly thinking about prophesied about in the writings, in the poetical books, particularly in the Psalter, in the book of Psalms. But also now, as we go on to John 1 and verse 45, going from Andrew to Simon to Philip, speaking to Nathanael, Nathanael says that he... Sorry, Philip says to Nathanael that he, Andrew, perhaps John, and Simon, we found him, not only the one who is written about in the Psalms and in those writings in the poetical books of the Old Testament, but we have found him of whom Moses in the law had written. To another, we found him, we found the Messiah, the Christ. He doesn't bother to mention that to Philip because obviously Philip was quite a learned man, and by this kind of description he would understand the one of whom Philip was speaking to him about. We have found the Messiah of whom Moses... You can understand their excitement. The one who was written about in the Psalms, in the writings, but also one of whom Moses, that's our greatest prophet, one of our greatest Old Testament prophets, he wrote about him in the law. That means in the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch or the Torah. He's written about there. And Moses wrote about him in many different ways under the guidance and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He wrote about him as the seed of the woman, of Eve, that should break or bruise the serpent's head, Satan's head, upon the cross. As the seed of Abraham, in whom all the nations of the world should be blessed. As the Shiloh, to whom the gathering of the people should be. And as the great prophet, like to himself, like to Moses, that God would raise up among the children of Israel, to whom they were to listen, to whom they were to hearken. They were to listen, to hearken to Jesus Christ and to his teaching as their prophet. Well, Moses wrote about these things, didn't he? Genesis 3:15. All the way back, Moses' writings, inspired by the Holy Spirit, all the way back to the beginning of the Old Testament, to the book of Genesis. Christ is there, the Messiah is there. God said, I'll put enmity between you, Satan, not so much speaking to the serpent that had beguiled Eve and then Adam, but to you, Satan, who's kind of using the serpent, and the woman even between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. He's going to give you a death blow, Satan, on the cross. But you are going to be permitted, or by wicked hands he's going to be taken, he's going to be slain physically, but he was going to rise again. He's spoken about in Genesis 28, 22 and verse 18 by Moses. Spoken there, and in thy seed, Abraham, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. God was speaking these words, but Moses wrote them down, didn't he? Because thou hast obeyed my voice. Speaking there about the anointed, the Christ, the Messiah. Moses writes about him there in Genesis 22, 18. Genesis 49 and verse 10. Remember what Jacob said to Judah, one of his sons, before he died. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and to him shall the gathering of the people be. And then in Deuteronomy, not just Genesis, but also in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy as well, he is spoken about by Moses. Deuteronomy 18, 15 and 18. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto you, Moses. To him you shall hearken, Verse 18, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like to you, Moses. I put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And of course, dear friends, men like Andrew and also Philip would have known their Old Testament scriptures. And they knew these scriptures. They knew Genesis. They knew Deuteronomy. And so it was wonderful to them to meet this person and to realize that he was the one that had been prophesied about, predicted about, and promised all the way back and spoken about right from the very beginning of this world and the beginning of their Old Testament scriptures. That's why they're so thrilled to find him, the one that's written about in scripture. This person who had been written about so many hundreds, a few thousand years ago, was amongst them, and they'd found him. Nothing more wonderful than that, my dear friends. In our lives, if you become a Christian, to find this person who's been written about by all the prophets and by the apostles over many hundreds of years, from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. What a discovery, my dear friend. It is the greatest possible discovery that you can ever make. A greater discovery than ever Columbus made or any other discoverer. If you discover and find Jesus Christ today, the one who's written about all those years ago, to know that he's still alive and he's risen from the dead, risen for your justification, and he's living, as it were, spiritually in your heart, and you believed in him, and he's a real person. There's nothing better than that. To experience that kind of breakthrough, to experience that kind of discovery, to find Christ and to know Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Written about in the writings, written about in the prophets. In the law of Moses. But not only the law of Moses, Philip also goes on to say in verse 45, to Nathanael, we found him of whom the prophets have written in the past. They'd had so often foretold him, the Old Testament prophets, both major and minor. They wrote about his birth of a virgin, of the place of his birth, Bethlehem of Judea. They prophesied of his sufferings and the glory that should follow his sufferings. They prophesied of his resurrection from the dead, his ascension to heaven, his session at the right hand of the Majesty on high, the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and of many other things relating to his person and office and work. There was no excuse for these men not to recognize their Christ, their Messiah. And my dear friends, there is no excuse for you either not to realize that this is God's Savior. This is God's Son. This is God's Christ. This is the only Savior of the world. Because all the promises, all the prophecies of the Old Testament are met in him, are yea and amen in him. All the shadows of the Old Testament scripture, all the types are fulfilled in him. The whole scripture leads up to him. The Old Testament leads up to him. The Gospels are all about him. The epistles explain about him and what he's done. My dear friends, it's all about Christ. And these men had found him. There's no excuse. All the prophecies met in him. They're all about him. They were fulfilled in him. Isaiah 7 verse 14. My dear friends, hundreds of years before it happened, but so specific, so clear. The Lord himself, Ahaz, God said through Isaiah to this man, King Ahaz, the king at that time, he shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Prophecy about Christ's birth. It was going to be of a virgin, of Mary, who didn't know man until after Christ had been born. His virgin birth, his miraculous birth. Even the very place of his birth, my dear friends, Micah 5 and verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth to me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, even from everlasting. You've got Isaiah and Psalm 22 so clearly describing his suffering and his death and the glory that should follow. You've got Psalm 16 and verse 10 prophesying about his resurrection. Thou would not leave my soul in hell, Christ said in spirit. You won't leave my soul in the grave, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. His ascension, Psalm 68 verse 18. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Even his session at the right hand of the Father was prophesied about, Psalm 2 and verse 6. God said, I have set, he was going to set his king upon my holy hill of Zion. Not Jerusalem of the earth, but of the heavenly Jerusalem. Oh, this man Philip says to Nathanael, we found him. Written about in the writings, in the poetical books. Written about in the law of Moses. And this one written about also in the prophets, both the major prophets and the minor prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, and so on. We have found him of whom these prophets wrote. And who prophesied about? They prophesied about him. And we can see even already that these things have been met in him, in Christ. We've found him. We've been pointed to him. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We've communed with him. And we see that these things are true concerning him, fulfilled in him. Dear friend, have you spiritually found him of whom the prophets did write? What a discovery that is. To find the one that these men wrote about so many hundreds of years ago, over hundreds of years, to find this pearl, a great price. Give up everything for him, my dear friends. Give up everything for salvation by faith in Christ. To receive the forgiveness of sins through him because of his death upon the cross. To receive his righteousness. Whatever you have, whatever personal righteousness that you think you have, my dear friends, it's just filthy rags. Give it all up, sell it all. Just like in the parable of the pearl of great price, that man who had pearls gave up all the pearls that he had for this one pearl that he found. My dear friend, give up every other religion. Give up every other person. Give up every other trust. Give up personal righteousness. Everything. Give up everything. Prepare to sacrifice it for him. And to have him. And to believe in him. And have the righteousness of God through him. Have him of whom the prophets did write. But notice also Philip said to Nathanael, now identifying him at that time, this one of whom they prophesied. He's here amongst us, and I tell you who it is. He now comes to, he's speaking now in concrete terms. He is amongst us, and let me point him out to you. He is Jesus of Nazareth. He is Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, his name signifies Saviour, of course. And his name answers to the promises and to the prophecies and the character of him in the Old Testament scriptures. And he was of Nazareth, a place not more than 3 hours' walk from Cana in Galilee, where Philip and Nathanael were, where Jesus had lived almost all of his days up until this time. And is therefore said to be of this place, even though he had been born in Bethlehem of Judea, perhaps a fact that Philip as yet did not know. Spent some of his infancy in Egypt to be protected from Herod, had visited Jerusalem during the course of his early life, especially on Passover days, and later would reside permanent in Capernaum. But at this time, he was of Nazareth. He should be called a Nazarene. Indeed, he was known this throughout most of his life, wasn't even his death. The placard that Pilate put up over the cross, the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The despised Jesus of Nazareth, Saviour. But in that place where it was a backwater, out in the sticks, no one really heard of it. Nathanael despised it. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? But it said, come and see. Yes, a good thing can come out of Bethlehem, my dear friends. A good thing can come out of Egypt. A good thing can come out of Nazareth. It is this person, according to the flesh. Have you found him? Have you spiritually found him? Jesus of Nazareth, a real person, a person who came into this world, not only prophesied about, not only eternal, existing eternally, but one who came incarnate into this world, a one who was born into this world, lived, was born in Bethlehem, resided for a while as an infant in Egypt, then spent much of his youth in Nazareth, and then resided in Capernaum, and then died in Jerusalem, a real person. Who really died for our sins, who really rose again from the dead, who really ascended to glory, who's really coming again, a real person. It's interesting, I was at the Open Air in Exeter High Street the other day, and Jim Henry was preaching. A man suddenly comes in front of him, and he said he was from the university, I think, and he was somebody who had studied theology. But Jim was preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was saying to him, there's never been any such person as Jesus of Christ. No such person. And Jim said, why don't you take out a coin? Took a coin out of his pocket. And he said, just read the date on there. And he read the date. He said, do you realise the significance of that date? How many years it is? After the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is a real person, an historical figure. Not a myth, my dear friends. A real person. The Son of God who came into this world to die for your sins, to suffer, to bleed, to die for your sins upon the cross, that they might be atoned for, and you might be forgiven. You can know him as really as these people, in a spiritual sense. And if you believe on him, you not only know him in a spiritual way and have a spiritual relationship with him now, but you'll go to heaven. You'll actually see him one day and be with him forever as a redeemed soul, as a saved soul. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. According to the common opinion of the people, this is how Philip describes him. He was supposed to be the son of Joseph. He, having married his mother Mary, Christ's mother Mary, therefore his legal foster, but not his natural son. It's what we read in Luke 3, verse 23. Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. John 6:42, they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph? He was his son, but legal son, foster son. He was the true natural son of Mary, but not the natural son of Joseph. Joseph, whose father and mother we know, how is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? You know this person. So my dear friend, to become a Christian, this is what it's all about. It is real. It is concrete. It's coming to know this person, to trust in him, to believe in him, to rely upon him for your own personal Lord and Saviour and Redeemer. Jesus of Nazareth, real historical figure, the son of Joseph, legally foster father, but Mary, her real son, her natural son, was born of the Virgin Mary. Do you know him? Have you found him? So in other words, my dear friends, Andrew and Philip found the one been written about in their Old Testament writings, the one had been written about in their Old Testament law. They had found the one who was written in their Old Testament prophets, both major and minor. These things were everything to them. The scriptures were everything. They had been taught these things, you know, from the time that they were very small. And now, the one that they were all writing about was amongst them, and was actually with them. They'd seen him. They were going to handle him, touch him, hear him. They trusted in him. They believed in him, even at this early stage, and become his disciples. You can appreciate why it was. Though we can't actually hear how they said it, but undoubtedly they said, we have found. They were so excited. They were so thrilled. Have you found him? Have you had that real spiritual thrill, my dear friends, of finding Christ, being converted, knowing your sins forgiven, the guilt going, the burden of your guilt going, and knowing that you're in Christ and you have God's righteousness through faith in him, that you're going not to hell anymore, but going to heaven. You should be like these men, going around, going to your family, first of all, going to your nearest friends, going to your neighbours, going to people at school, at college, in your workplace, going to tell them, what has happened to you? You found the most important person of all, or rather, he has found you, a lost soul, a lost sinner, and saved you for his name's sake, saved you by grace, brought you into the family, justified you by faith, now sanctifying you by his Spirit, and one day will glorify you together with him. How thrilled we should be to be Christians this morning. We should be sharing this with other people constantly. Or may we do so, for his name's sake. Amen.